listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up 6:20 tonight, pregame coverage with first pitch 6:35, the Atlanta Braves taking on the Baltimore Orioles. Cole Hamels finally getting his first start in Atlanta Braves uniform tonight. We're all have our fingers crossed for that one. A chance to talk week two of the NFL. Our good buddy Barry Wilner, the pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. Barry, thank you again for joining us and welcome again to the show.
Always a pleasure, Johnny. What were your thoughts of week one?
Well, okay, I know where I'm going to jump ahead because I know you're going to want to give me grief, but last time I checked, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So a couple things stood out. Obviously, Tom Brady with Tampa Bay did not get off. Well, he got off to the good start, scoring the quick touchdown. After the fact, not so much. But I know you want to give me grief about Phillip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts, so go at it.
Nah, I'm going to wait a few weeks, Johnny. You know, 1 week doesn't prove a lot. And, you know, they lost to that powerhouse Jacksonville team.
You know, Jacksonville is one of the, look, the Titans had a chance, what, 3 years ago, had a chance, an opportunity to wrap up a division and Christmas Eve, a game which they should have won quite handily. Nobody showed up before the game. Everybody was flat, and they end up losing that game. And that's when Marcus Mariota also suffers the leg injury. And so Jacksonville is one of those teams, just when you think they're going to be the worst team in the NFL, they pull the surprise like they did on Sunday.
Now, they still could go 1-15, Johnny, so we'll see.
Well, if you're a fan of the Titans, that's quite all right. That means they will lose twice to the Titans, so that'll be a good thing. Hey, speaking of the Titans, your thoughts on Monday night. You know, if we had added 11 points to that final score for the Titans, then we wouldn't be feeling so like, okay, they managed to get a win, but how excited and pumped up are you with a 16-14 win over Denver? If the kicking game had shown up, then it would be a different story and a different feeling this week if you're a fan of the Titans.
I agree 100%. I thought the Titans are the better team and a difficult, you know, place to play. You know, there are no fans there, but the altitude really does make a difference. And especially early in the season, the altitude can make a difference if it's warm there. I kind of liked what I saw from the Titans. I've said all along, I think they're the best team in their division. I'm sorry that I'm discounting Jacksonville somewhat, but the rest of the division didn't show up very much, and I just think that's a good win for the Titans.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned no fans in the stands, and, you know, here's Jerry Jeudy, the rookie out of Alabama. I don't recall him dropping passes like that at Alabama. I wonder if the fact there was no fans in the stands hurt his concentration. I mean, he still had a decent game with his four catches for 56 yards, but it was the drops that was the difference, where certainly I think it cost Denver some points there. You're talking about with those completions, too, he had a lot of room to run even more so, where he probably would have had a 100-yard running a pass-receiving game against the Titans. But two major drops, uncharacteristic of a Jerry Jeudy.
I agree with that. And he's playing at a different level, and the defense is moving at a much faster pace. And probably the football's coming in at a different pace, too. But I will say this. I watched a lot of games on the weekend. I went to the game Monday night at the Meadowlands. There were so many drop passes that was one of the two themes that, to me, came out of the first weekend, with so many drop passes. In the Pittsburgh Giants game, we counted seven drops, and that's unofficial. And there were a couple of others that receivers got their hands on. And it just, to me, that and the fact that there's already so many injuries on the offensive line and teams will be scrambling all over the place to sign up players who are on the street for the offensive line, that's already a theme, I think.
Hey, what do you call a defensive back?
What do I call a defensive back?
Yeah, a wide receiver that can't catch, because one of the things that we were expecting a lot over the weekend, a lot more turnovers, right? And I think the numbers are misleading, because we should have had a lot more interceptions on Sunday and even Monday night for that matter too, especially like in the Denver-Tennessee game. If it wasn't for the drop balls in the defensive players' hands, there should have been a lot more picks on over the weekend.
That's definitely true, but you kind of expect that from defensive backs, unfortunately. There aren't that many that have really good hands. But that said, when these guys are getting in position to make those picks, they can be game changers. And I'm not sure that that's so much of a trend because we've seen it through the years. I do really worry about what teams are going to do protecting quarterbacks if these offensive lines keep getting so many injuries.
Well, one of the things that really stood out, and I don't know what the exact number, but I know it's in double digits as far as the number of hamstring injuries that we saw occur over week one. I mean, probably in the neighborhood of 50 or more when you combine all 32 teams.
Hamstring, we saw calf injuries, we saw some groin injuries. The soft tissue injuries are expected. They're even expected when you have the preseason and then come into the regular season. So that's something else to keep an eye on, and it could affect a lot of teams. You know, a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who's out with one of those injuries. Now, yes, and I'm sorry to bring up the Jets, Johnny, but that team's in desperate straits anyway, and here's Bell. Who knows if he's going to be out for a while?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be missing at least three or more weeks. And you think about it, too, hamstring injuries, lower leg injuries. When you weaken the leg like that, that also sets up worse kind of things where all of a sudden we start seeing some torn ACLs, et cetera, with these players because they try to rush back too soon.
And that's another thing. Rushing back is something we might be seeing a lot of because these players aren't sure how long the season might last. It's possible it won't be a full season. And these guys want to get back, and teams want to get them back. All of that could wind up being quite a mess.
How about coming back on Monday night? Missed the last 14 games of 2019. Ben Roethlisberger, the way he played on Monday night. You know, Pittsburgh now, all of a sudden, to me, when you think about, there's Baltimore, Kansas City, or Kansas City, Baltimore, whichever way you want to put it, but right on their heels is the Pittsburgh Steelers to me, especially with that great defense.
Hey, Johnny, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago when you asked me who I thought the third best team was in the conference, and I said I think it's probably Pittsburgh. It could be Tennessee. Ben started out rusty at that game, but only for a little while, and another thing teams, opponents need to look at and be fearful about is James Conner went out and in stepped Benny Snell, a guy, incidentally, I really liked in college. And he played very well. He rushed for 113 or so yards, and he was a little bit dynamic, I think. And, yeah, there's another weapon for Pittsburgh. And that defense, that might be the best defense in the league.
It also gives me a chance to have at least one glowing moment as far as Jets moment because Benny Snell, who I'm like you, I like him a lot. His uncle is Matt Snell, who helped the Jets when they won their only Super Bowl, and it was on their only Super Bowl appearance. So another reason for me to like Benny Snell.
Well, you know what? It's good that you can make some sort of connection to the good times for the Jets because they're so far away.
A couple of things, other things that stood out for me, the job that Russell Wilson in Seattle did going into Atlanta and what they were able to do. I mean, the game was not as close as that final score of 38-25. Seattle had that game well in hand. The disappointing things, like here's DeAndre Swift. Loved watching him play with Georgia. Here's a chance in your first game in the NFL for a game-winning touchdown reception, except he forgot to look it into his hands because he turned to the end zone and he drops the ball, and so the Lions lose. I don't know what to make of Detroit. Is Detroit an average team or above-average team? The only thing I know is they don't know how to finish ball games.
Wow, that was the problem last year. This was a terrible way to lose because they so dominated the first half that people were screaming in Chicago for Mitch Trubisky to be benched. And then they just fall completely flat in the second half. I did feel for DeAndre Swift, but, you know, he needs to make that catch and they win the game. I'm not a big fan of Detroit. I'm not a big fan of Chicago either. I think both of those teams are way behind Green Bay and Minnesota. I think Minnesota's better than it showed at Green Bay, against Green Bay on Sunday.
Las Vegas, the Raiders, Carolina, the Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater, for his first game with Carolina. I love that game could have gone either way. You know, Carolina loses at home. Are these two teams, where are they in your eyes? I mean, I know it's still early to tell. Are they average teams, slightly above? Are they you know, a chance to maybe get that final playoff spot? Where are they in your eyes?
We'll learn a lot about the Raiders on Monday night when they open at home against New Orleans. That's going to show us a lot. So I'll reserve judgment there. I thought they showed a lot of moxie coming back after they blew the lead. And again, the Raiders are historically not a good team when they come east. And I think that they still have that effect. And then Carolina, I still think, is one of the bottom enders. But that team's going to play with a lot of passion every week. Matt Rhule will make sure of that. And you mentioned before Russell Wilson. I kind of skipped over that. I'm writing something for this weekend. You know, the Seahawks have been traditionally slow starters the last few years in games, and they were always coming from behind, and Russell Wilson's a magician when it comes to that. But the way they looked and the way they just pounced on the Falcons in that game, that's got to be very encouraging to Pete Carroll and everyone in Seattle. And this week we learn a lot about them and about New England when they meet up, I think it's the Sunday night game.
Pro32.ap.org is the site. Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York, joining us. Barry, we appreciate you so much. Continue to stay safe. All my best to you and your family. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks, Johnny.
All right, buddy. That's Barry.